Remember, we're on the web at BaysideMarineSC.com or call the shop at 475-2173. Stop by on your way to the boat ramp, pick up your ice, food, beer, bait, and tackle. Then say hi to Todd and get the latest scoop. Remember, we're Bayside Marine. Give us a call at 475-2173. A part of our community, a part of culture, the Santa Cruz Harbor, with a brand new launch ramp, a great washdown and fish cleaning facilities. Sport fishermen call this protected port haven. The Santa Cruz Harbor is ideal for all boaters with berthing and end ties. Find rigging, tackle, charters, and great restaurants in the harbor. With full hookups, you can bring your RV and even take a scenic stroll around the harbor. The Santa Cruz Harbor welcomes you. You know how to put money into your IRA, but do you know how to take it out? Do you know the smartest way to withdraw money at 55 or even 45? And how will the new rules affect your required minimum distributions? To see how Smith Barney can help you navigate the complicated tax laws regarding IRAs, call Pete Middlecaw, financial consultant at 479-5100. That's 479-5100 for Pete Middlecaw. Citigroup Global Markets Incorporated, member SIPC. Smith Barney is a division of Citigroup Global Markets Incorporated and does not provide tax advice. Consult your tax advisor for guidance.
Let's go fishing. It's time. It's the 4th of July weekend, and it's a great weekend. Beautiful weather. Nothing better to do than go fishing. So hopefully you're planning a fishing trip, whether you're going out camping or ocean fishing with friends. We hope to fill you in on what's going on here on the Let's Go Fishing Show, KSCO 1080, KOMY 1340, also archived on the Internet thanks to the folks at ShipToShoreRadio.com. Not only can you listen to fishermen in the Monterey Bay, Half Moon Bay, and San Francisco Bay areas, but you can listen to the archived show. So if there's a little tidbit you might have missed last week's show, as well, or this show as we're recording it, you can always go there and listen to the show archived. Also, sportfishingreport.com, I believe Chad Woods from sportfishingreport.com is archiving all of the shows of the season, so you can always listen to past shows there. Speaking of past shows, last week we had a great special guest. Big thanks to Ken Case, and he gave us the recipe from Grandma for rockfish. Really good. I was fortunate enough to bump into Bocce Boy, a commercial fisherman in the harbor who had caught some rockfish, so I got some fillets from him and tried the recipe. Boy, was it delicious. And Alan, we missed you, but I was glad you were on a fisherman's holiday up there at Eagle Lake fishing with Roger Keeling. And how are you doing now?
Oh, yeah. That was one of those trips of a lifetime, Mike, and Roger ruined my reputation as a man who cannot catch trout, because I caught trout with Roger Keeling under his tutelage, and we got some beautiful Eagle Lake trout. Just had a heck of a good time, and with a fantastic fisherman, Roger Keeling, one of our frequent guests here on the radio. We might even hear from him tonight.
Yeah, I think it's his birthday, so we'll find out. He might be out partying, but we might get a call from him. Ken Stagnaro, I hope. God, he's always been a real big supporter of the show, both with his wisdom, fishing reports, and just with the family support, supporting the Let's Go Fishing Show. We hope to check in with him. Rock cod opener. I am excited. Saturday, first day of rock cod fishing, so delicious rockfish. Get ready. Get that recipe ready, because it is going to be rock cod season. And if it seems a little confusing, you're not sure what you can catch or keep, we hope to fill you in on that, where to go, what to do, how to do it, and how to stay within those legal boundaries. Also, a hot topic right now is albacore. Are they really being caught? Where are they caught? Where are the breaks? We're going to check in with that topic as well. With no further ado, Ken Stagnaro, how are you doing tonight?
Hey, how's it going, Mike? I'm doing well.
Good, good. And you've been a guest of the show over the years, and it's still the same, Kenny. It's a lot of chaos, and we're just kind of winging it. But the good thing is we've got an easy format. We love to fish and talk about it, so you can't go wrong. But
it's always easy to talk about fishing, huh?
Yeah. What do you think? What do you anticipate for the rock cod opener, and what are your plans?
Well, we're going to, traditionally on the opening day of rock cod, since we've had an opening day, it used to be every day was opening day, but as the opener, we traditionally go up to New Year's Island. It's kind of where people expect to go. We don't always go there year-round, but when the season's just getting started and everybody's all excited, we want to go up there and see if we can catch a few lings and get everybody kind of hyped about it. And that's probably what we're going to start with.
And how did the local reefs look to you? Now, I know you've been doing trips out for whale watching. It's been probably a great year for whale watching.
Yeah.
And salmon trips. How did the local reefs look to you for rockfish?
They've been looking really good. We haven't been going north too much because the whales have been down in the gut of the bay. And so we've been heading mostly south, and same thing with salmon fishing. But we have gone a few trips north, and it's been looking really good. We've had about a week of southerly swell, though. A little bit of southwesterly swell, which tends to turn our bottom up, our coastline facing south, so we get a little sediment that turns it up. But the swell went down as of yesterday, and so I suspect when the water clears up a little bit, it'll look a lot better, because it looked a little murky there for a while, and I wasn't seeing a whole lot of fish on the rocks. But it was, up until that point, looking really good, and I suspect by this weekend it'll clear up and it'll be right back to the way it has been looking. So I expect some pretty good catches, hopefully. We went out the other day for some sand dabs. We had a kids group on the boat, and we caught a ton of mackerel, a nice bait-sized mackerel, and we saved those for a lot of the customers who want to really fish for the big toothy lingcod, and we have a lot of mackerel on hand for the guys.
Oh, good.
That'll work, yeah. Susie Lingcod, you said?
No. Oh, yeah.
Now, Ken, as far as the cod season goes, aren't there other options this year? I believe it's open in deeper water, right? It was previously up to 120 feet, which, I'll keep them secret, but I know some of your favorite lingcod spots right there off of Davenport and New Year's Island will be easier to fish, more accessible, and you can hit more of the outside edges of those reefs. Is that the case now? Do you feel confident with deeper water?
Pretty much. It's the 180 feet, it gives us basically the outer rim or the outer perimeter of the shallow water environment, I would call it. And so there are some rocks that before we could fish about 80% of the rocks and the outer rim of it, which has been closed because it's like 100, a little over 120 feet of water. And so those have been off limits for several years now. And now, And typically some of our better fish are on the edge of the rocks where the rocks meets the sand. And so, yeah, that does open up some spots for us. And so we're looking forward to fishing some of those places. There's not a big area, the area that I'm talking about. Not a real huge area, but they can be some productive areas. So hopefully that'll pay off a little bit for us this year.
Yeah, I was kind of excited to hear that. There's a lot of spots even outside natural bridges or up the coast off Davenport that, you really couldn't get to the outer edges of the reefs in our area a lot of the time, or even New Year's Island. Sometimes like you said, the outside edge of that reef was a little too deep to fish. So those could be fun spots. They bring different varieties of fish, maybe some more bottom fish and bolinas.
Exactly. Some more lings and bigger lings and some of the reds. We've been getting a lot of vermilion the last few years, so that could really boost up our score on that. I'm really excited about that. What I'm really excited about is next season, as we get so much more time to fish. All the numbers were good at the meeting, Pacific Fishery meeting last couple of weeks ago, and so they gave us more time. We're going to get like an eight-month season, for sure a seven-month season, and out to 40 fathoms next year, which 240, and that'll actually open up some actual deep water environment of habitat for rockfish. So we're really looking forward to that too.
Now I'm going to put either you or Alan on the spot, because I haven't done my homework. Alan's scrambling for his notes. His job this week was rockcod rakes, which is really a job in itself. Now, as well as the 10-fish rockfish limit, what is the lingcod regulations this year?
Same as last, two fish at 24 inches, and but December, I think possibly we can't fish lingcod in December, even if they let us fish rockcod this year. But always check your regulations before you go out and do that. But that's pretty sure that's what it is, two 24 inches.
Okay, so two lingcod on top of the 10 rockfish limits.
Right.
Now another question I might put you on the spot. What's your favorite way to eat rockfish? I know you and your family is probably like me, really enjoyed rockfish over the years. I never get tired of it. What's your favorite recipe for rockfish?
I got, it probably sounds weird coming from an Italian, but I love fish tacos. Yeah, they're one of my favorite is fish tacos. You just kind of blacken them really quick on a hot skillet. and put all your favorite toppings on there. And I love a good fish taco. But the other way is the fried with panko. You ever hear of panko before?
Yeah.
I like the panko breading. It's kind of doesn't hold oil, or at least doesn't appear to hold oil like some of the other fried fish does. And use that. It's an oriental freeze-dried breadcrumb, and it doesn't seem to. It's really dry and flaky coating on it. I really enjoy it that way.
Very good. Now, what's going on at Gilda's restaurant? How about the wharf and the history of Stag Narrow fishing trips, bay tours, and whale watching? Have you done many whale trips? I know more and more people are interested in whale watching this
year. Right. Well, we're trying to spread the word on whale watching. It's really a year-round thing now, and people always think that whales are just prevalent in the winter months, and we're trying to change people's opinion about that. So we're trying to do a little more year-round whale watching because the humpback whales are the summer whales of Monterey Bay, and we've been running quite a few trips for that this year, at least a couple times a week, and we've seen whales every trip. And it's a lot of fun for the family. If you're looking for something to do to get on the bay and it's not just all about fishing for you and your family, then I would recommend a whale watching trip. It is indeed year-round, and people don't realize that around here. And the bay tours are just really getting started for the season. We've been running them on weekends, and now we're starting to run weekdays as well for the hour bay tours. So we're going to do a lot of things this year with our other boat. We have another boat up from Morro Bay this year, and so we're doing different trips and more of them. And the albacore, yeah, we have another boat that's really kind of set up for albacore that came up from Morro Bay, and they're excited about doing some albacore fishing this year.
That's true. The Princess is here running trips out of Stag Narrow fishing trips, so if the albacore come, that boat may be the albacore boat, and the Velocity might be inshore working those lingcod and rockfish spots.
Yeah.
To give us some information about booking a trip with you, Ken, I know you've got a lot of deck space. The boat is fast, a nice stable platform, and a great galley on board. Say hi to the crew, and I'm looking forward to filling in for you in the fall. It almost doesn't seem fair. I get to get paid to run the Velocity for you while you're gone, but I'm really getting excited for that.
Well, if you're really that excited for me, you'd offer to do it a little more often.
Give us some contact numbers to go either on a bay cruise, which I highly recommend right off the wharf, a whale watching trip, or some good old rock cod fishing.
Okay, give us a call at 831-427-2334 for any of those trips that I just mentioned there.
All right, and we'll brief you on the regulations again. If you guys are listening, you're really not sure where to go or how to do it, we do have some regulations. We'll talk more about rockfish as the show goes on. Ken, thanks a lot. Have a great holiday weekend.
Thank you very much, Mike.
Thanks,
all
Kenny.
Right. Good night.
And we got kind of a busy show lined up here, so let's check in. You know what I've been wanting to do, Alan, is get a Half Moon Bay report. You know, a lot of emphasis on Bodega Bay lately, but the truth is it's one day it's hot, one day it's a little tougher, but Half Moon Bay has been kicking out fisher rod to limit style action here for probably a week to 10 days. I chatted with a good friend and fisherman of mine, Brett Townsend from Central Valley Marine. He and the guys stay on top of the hot bites, and he was willing to give us a report from Half Moon Bay. I know he's been out there lately. So, hey, Brett, how you doing?
Oh, I'm good. Mike, how are you doing this evening?
Good. We didn't have much information from Half Moon Bay, and I had heard you'd been out recently, got limits, thought you could tell us kind of the general area where you went, what you saw, and how you caught them.
Well, sure. I was out last Sunday. I was with Jim Hart on his Grady White, The Last Toy. And I was out on Sunday, and the fishing was a little slower than the Saturday, but we had a steady pick. We got 8 fish for 4 guys, and we caught them mostly on bait. All the fish that came in were completely stuffed with huge sardines. So we caught a lot of them on sardines, and a few of them hit on the red crocodiles, and they were shallow, 20 to 40 feet. We caught them all on downriggers, and it was steady action all day.
And what did you see in the area, Brett? Are there rips? Is there brown water, seagulls hitting the water? What kind of, because I know some days I've had some guys call me and it's been slow, and it's kind of like, hey, look for the conditions. I've heard there's rips in the area and dark water.
That's exactly right, and that's where we found the fish, where the rips, right on the edge of the rips, and where the water was the darkest and the murkiest. That's where we seemed, the congregation of the fish. And wherever there's one, there's more. So we stayed on them and stayed in that area and passed over them, and that's how we got our steady pick.
And what was the average size of fish? Was it a real mixed batch, Brad, or were they?
Well, they were probably an average between actually, 10 and 12 pounds, and we were fortunate to get a couple that pushed 18 and 20.
Nice. And were most of the boats getting limit spread, or was it just, I know Jim does pretty well. Combined with your efforts, you guys might be ahead of the pack, but were most of the guys getting limits?
I would say so. Yeah, I would say most of the boats limited. It was so flat calm that it was enjoyable to stay out there all day.
Mm-hmm.
And with that, I think most boats did limit. But the latest report I got today was I think some of those fish have pushed uphill a little bit. And Sam was out today, and they limited outside the Fairlawns. And the fish seem to be about the same size, and they're stuffed with the apparently the large sardines up there as well.
Okay, yeah, I kind of got some secondhand reports. I think like the Gravy Yogi was running that today. They had limits for the six-pack boat. And it sounds like they're up there at like, where were they? 33 and 53, which is just south of the Farallon Islands. So those fish might be moving up a little bit. It looks like the weather's going to persist with kind of a light southerly, southwesterly flow while the low pressure and this kind of a subtropical front we had sweeps up the coast. High pressure's going to build behind it. But it looks like Friday and Saturday are still going to be real nice days.
Yeah, I'm hoping to get out.
All right.
Looking forward to it.
Well, Brett, to you and the crew there at Central Valley Marine, thanks for supporting the show and for contributing the fishing information for us. Give us some contact numbers for you guys there at Central Valley Marine.
You betcha. Our main number to the store here is 408-371-6681. And we're happy to take anybody who's interested in the Grady White out on a demo. Give us a call.
Oh, there you go. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Brett. Well, we appreciate it. Have a great holiday weekend.
All righty. Bye-bye.
All right. Thanks for the call. And let's keep rolling here. We got Larry Wolf is going to check in with us, talk about a holiday weekend. It's also the Big Fish Derby for the Monterey Bay Salmon Trout Project. You know, this is one tournament that whether you fish or not, it's worth buying a ticket just to support the cause. Because these guys do a lot of good for us, from the ocean enhancement with the Chinook Project as well as our local rivers. Larry Wolf, give us some information about the Big Fish Tournament. Where can you fish out of? Where are the weigh-in stations, the dates, times, you name it?
Well, Mike, this year the Big Fish Derby is this Friday, Saturday, Sunday. And as usual, you can fish out of Santa Cruz, the Santa Cruz Harbor off of Capitola, the pier there. They've got weigh stations there. Moss Landing at the main launch ramp, and at the Harbor Master's office right across the area in Monterey. We have five launch areas or weigh stations that you can weigh your fish in. And this year, like last, we have any salmon, halibut, tuna, sea bass, and lingcod for Saturday and Sunday are all target fish for the Derby. The heaviest fish of all five species for the 3 days wins $1,000. And each species, the heaviest fish from each species, also wins $150. So there's lots of great prizes besides the money prize, and we encourage everyone to get out there and have a really good time.
Yeah, and it's a big fish tournament, so it's anything is eligible, is that right? A salmon, halibut, albacore, lingcod?
Yes, and sea bass.
Okay, even a sea bass. What about a jack smelt?
No, unfortunately, not yet. Not unless we get a lot more demand.
Yeah, well, I had to throw that in there. But, you know, it's a great event. If you're fishing out of any of the landings this weekend, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Santa Cruz, Capitola, Moss Landing, Monterey. I didn't listen well, Larry, but is the Santa Cruz Wharf the main wharf a location as well?
Yes, it is. We've got the Velocity now going out of the Santa Cruz main wharf. And if you're going to be fishing on the Princess on FDOC, we'll also have people there Saturday, Sunday. So it's going to be a pretty interesting time for everyone, and we'll have weigh stations on the main pier also.
Okay, so you can't miss it. There'll be people in the mornings there selling tickets, so if you want to get involved, it's a great event. We really look forward to it. Hope it's successful. I know in the past, despite the first place fish, there's absolutely tons of prizes donated, even just for raffle-type items. Is that right, Larry?
Yes, we give away over 60 prizes, and in some cases it's gone up to 75, depending on how many contributions we get and all the fishermen. So usually between one and four or five people get a prize, and we always have a few extra prizes for the kids if they come in with a fish, so everybody wins something.
All right. Well, again, Larry Wolf, thank you to everybody, you, the volunteers, everyone with the Monterey Bay Salmon Trout Project. Again, it's a great cause. If you are going out fishing this weekend in the Monterey Bay, buy a ticket or two and support the cause. It's a great event. Friday, Saturday, Sunday, the Big Fish Tournament brought to you by the Monterey Bay Salmon Trout Project. Thanks, Larry.
Thank you.
Have a great weekend, and I hope it's a successful event.
All right, Mike.
And before we go to the break here, let's check in with the birthday boy himself. And right after the break, I hope to check in with a good friend of mine, Mike Nolan, from Crescent City, California. So don't touch the dial. There's been a lot of salmon up there and possible rumors of albacore. So we'll check in with Mike Nolan, looks like, from Crescent City. In the meantime, Alan, we've got the birthday boy himself, Roger Keeling. What do you guess his age is? I'm going to say 21.
I'm going to put him closer to my age. Let's say maybe 42.
Well, how you doing tonight?
Happy birthday to me. I'd have Chester fill in with Harmony, but he's got a short throat.
I'll admit it. You've threatened to sing, and you had me a little bit scared there, Roger.
Well, you know, Mike, on the trip we took last week, I did have the complete pleasure of hearing Roger and Chester, his dog, sing the... what's the name of that song, Roger?
We did Please Release Me, Indian Love Call.
Indian Love Call.
I haven't bathed in a week.
Yeah. Both of you guys have beautiful voices. How's the fishing up there right now, Roger? How did it shape up this week?
Well, I had some old clients of Mike's out yesterday, Ralph Gregory and his son John, and we did Lake Almanor, and Mike had one of the best days we've ever had on with John, especially. Ralph has done hundreds of trips with me, but John was really,
well, that's
really happy.
sounds like the lake is starting to straighten itself up.
Well,
now.
It's stratified. We've gone from the spring surface fishing to the deeper fishing, but now we have 4th of July weekend to contend with, and I'll be staying off of Elmenor and back to Eagle Lake, and okay. I hear Eagle's really picked up, and so anyway, I might give anybody a warning that would be happening to consider Antelope Lake in Plumas County. They just had a lightning spot fire up there. They had to evacuate everyone from the campgrounds up there. It actually burnt right down to the ramp.
Uh-oh.
We've had several fires near Susanville. We've had a lot of smoke in the area, also coming from the Reno area and quite a few others.
Okay, so check the news reports before you make the trip. So you fished Almanor this week, and do you plan on hitting Eagle Lake again very soon?
Yeah, I'll be on Eagle Saturday, and you pretty well want to stay off Lake Almanor 4th of July weekend and through the 4th of July.
Because it gets real crowded.
Yeah, you get an awful lot of water sports on there. Mm-hmm. And, basically, Eagle Lake is mostly fishermen up there. It's usually pretty quiet on Eagle Lake. A lot of people come over to Almanor for the fireworks and different little festivities they have in the Almanor area. So anyway, I'm going to do one more charter on Almanor tomorrow, and then we're going to be doing about 5 charters in a row on Eagle.
Oh, I'm sure you'll find them.
I hope so.
I think Eagle Lake is probably in the process of stratifying right now, too much as Almanor.
I had a friend who owns one of my old guide boats. I sold him a few years ago. He said the last 2 trips up there, a lot of new fish have moved in. They're on a pretty good migration. We had some 100-degree weather here right after you left, and this is Alan, right?
Yeah, this is Alan, yes.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Okay, so anyway, more fish have moved in, and it's supposed to be a pretty good bite up there, but I'm going to take a chance on Almanor again tomorrow, mm-hmm. and back up there Saturday, Monday, and scattered through next week.
Well, Roger, I have to say, while I have you on the line, that I can't imagine a better trip to go on or a finer fisherman to have it with. My kids, Emma and Max, and I just had a fantastic time in the most difficult of conditions. And you found the fish. You changed your tactics, and we started pulling some big ones onto the boat. And, yeah, it was a fantastic time, and I can't wait to get back up there and fish with you again.
Well, thank you, and appreciate your patience, and you got 2 great kids there.
Yeah. Before we let you go, can you give us some contact info for anyone else down here who might want to book a trip with you?
Okay, thank you. I'm at 530-284-6429.
Okay. Thank you, Roger. Happy birthday to
you. Happy birthday,
Roger. Thank you.
Wish we had more time for you. We just got a busy show, but have a great birthday.
Okay.
And we look forward to more reports.
Yeah, you did miss the I am 43, not 42. Okay. Okay, buddy.
Thanks, Roger.
Bye-bye.
Good night. Have a good weekend. And you know what? Let's do it. Let's just check in with Mike Nolan real quick from Crescent City. A long time I haven't chatted with him. Mike, how you doing tonight?
Fantastic, Mike. Good hearing from you.
You too. How you been?
Wonderful, wonderful.
We don't get those North Coast reports very often. Once in a while, the boys there from Mad River Outfitters check in. But I thought we could get a quick shot from you in regards to salmon, albacore, or whatever's hot up in Crescent City.
Well, salmon had slowed down for sure. It was very hot there a couple weeks ago, and went through a slow period, but just this afternoon the bite turned on over there on Brookings side, and we're going to give it a shot tomorrow morning.
And how about albacore? I know I chatted with you via email, and it sounded like there was some rumors from some of the jig boats way up the coast. They're off the Columbia River, possibly some reports of albacore there. I know Crescent City and outside Brookings, Oregon, occasionally get some early season fish. Has there been any rumors of albacore there, Mike?
Well, there's definitely a lot of interest in just jumping at the bit to get out there. We've got some bigger ospreys that we're going to run out today out of Brookings. I don't know if they went or not for sure, though. But, yeah, the next couple days, I'm sure someone's going to find one out here. The line on the 125 highway is just perfect. So it should just go right up the coast. They had one hooked out of Depot Bay, 90 miles out of Depot Bay, give you, but they went out of Depot and they had hooked one outside of Tuna Town up there, and we're heading back in trolling for another hour.
All right.
So, just about to happen. I'm sure in the next week we'll have some reports for you on that.
Sounds like the hot pick still remains salmon, whether you're on the Oregon side of the border or the California side. There's still a lot of salmon in the area. Give us a couple tips of what to look for and what to use in that area, Mike.
Well, right now the bait seems to be shifting back towards the beach again, which brought the salmon in before. We were catching them in 100 feet of water, just a mile outside the jetty. All of a sudden, the fish all moved out when this water turned over and couldn't hardly find them. So tips right now is to look for where those birds and bait just outside the harbor. That's probably where they moved back to.
Okay, so there's a lot of bait fish in the area. It's already on the beach, and the salmon are on it even. I know I got some reports from Brookings where they were seeing feeding humpback whales right off of the south jetty, and it sounded like the salmon were right there also.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, they had a great white in there, too, on the south side of the jetty there.
Wow.
Observed by a lot of people. The surfers emptied the water pretty quickly there.
Yeah, that's the kind of food chain I don't want to be a part of.
I can't imagine surfing when you got salmon and sea lions all around.
Yeah, right on. Well, we've been wanting to get you to call the last couple of weeks. I know you're busy. In the meantime, your posts, I always see them occasionally on Coastside Fishing Club. Very informative for that area where there's not a lot of information. Do you mind giving an email out or a contact number for anybody that might be heading up there on a fishing trip?
No problem whatsoever. My email is Hiuch. H-I-O-U-C-H.
All right.
At earthlink.net.
Okay.
And I can be contacted at my office at Century 21. That's 800-681-6803. And I'm extension 103.
All right. And I have all that contact information. So if you didn't write it down, Alan's jotting it down now. But you can always contact us here during the break or after the show. Mike Nolan from Crescent City, thanks a lot. Catch a bunch of fish and have a great weekend.
You're welcome. Cheers.
Okay.
Okay.
You too.
Okay, Mike.
All right. Bye. And right after the break, we're going to check in with Steve Carson, Senior Tuna himself, and I'm going to put him on the spot, and I'm going to find out what's really going on with albacore, what he's heard here on the Central Coast, and we'll also tell you where the breaks are at, what the weather prediction is. If you want to go out for tuna, we're going to get to that right after the break. So don't touch the dial. We'll be right back with more of the Let's Go Fishing radio show.
Put Lake Nacimiento Resort on your list this year. For a fun-filled family destination that has something for everyone, including six campgrounds.
Ooh, that smells good.
From walk-ins to full RV hookups, visit Lake Nacimiento Resort. If roughing it's not your style, nestle into one of the Lakeview lodges.
Ooh, this place is nice.
And make sure to check the menu at the Lakeshore Cafe. With 165 miles of shoreline, it's easy to find a private spot to fish. The resort marina also has a full line of boat rentals, from fishing skiffs to ski boats for even more family fun. For reservations and information, call 800-323-3839 extension 2 or check the website at www.nacimientoresort.com.
Feeling stressed? Why not get away from it all? Imagine the beauty of nature, the sounds of silence. Go fishing.
Son, isn't this wonderful? No neighbors, no phones, no TV.
Dad, how many kinds of fish are there?
Hundreds, maybe thousands. I don't know exactly.
Thousands? That's a lot of fish.
Well, let's just see if we can catch one or two today.
Fishing with a family can yield memories that will last a lifetime. With the gear available today, fishing is easy, and Outdoor World has waders and waterproof boots to keep you dry, tackle boxes, fishing vests, and carrying cases to keep your gear handy, reels, and just the right bait to make a difference. At Outdoor World, you'll find everything you need except for the fish. Outdoor World on 41st Avenue in Capitola, on Front Street in Santa Cruz, and on North Fremont Street in Monterey. See our weekly ad in the Good Times and the Monterey County Weekly. Outdoor World, when it's time to get away.
Some say the best way to fish Monterey Bay is a small charter or six-pack boat. One thing's for sure, you can't go wrong booking a trip with Real Sport Fishing or Captain Jimmy Charter. Jerry Brooks and Jim Rubin run fast, roomy boats with top-notch gear and the latest electronics. Whether halibut, salmon, or albacore is your prey, Captain Jimmy and Real Sport Fishing get you there quick and maximize your catch. For a custom fishing trip, call Captain Jimmy at 831-662-3020 or Real Sport Fishing at 831-465-0639.
ICOM Marine products are simply the best. When your safety at sea depends on communication, trust ICOM radios, handhelds, VHS, and single sidebands. ICOM is the leader of the industry. With a full line of VHF radios equipped with digital selective calling, depend on ICOM. Their products are second to none. Find ICOM radios at Johnson Hicks or any fine dealer near you. Check online at www.icomamerica.com. ICOM, simply the best. Central Valley Marine makes your fun serious. With Grady White boats and Yamaha engines, the customer always comes first at Central Valley Marine. Find perfectly crafted Grady White boats outfitted with four-stroke Yamaha outboards at a business with 30 years of experience. Central Valley Marine. Phone 1-800-974-4286. In Campbell on South Bascom, Central Valley Marine. 800-974-4286.
Let's go fishing, that's right. Great weather out there. 4th of July weekend coming up. Extended holiday weekend, I should call it. But you're tuned into the Let's Go Fishing Show. KSCO 1080, KOMY 1340. And Alan Bushnell is back, and it's chaos as usual, but we're excited because, you know, 4th of July weekend, it's just like there could be stripers on the beach, halibut in the bay, albacore right. Offshore, salmon.
Yeah, you know, and then rockfish opens, Mike. You know, yeah. It's like it's truly summer. And I took a week vacation and got back just in time for a four-day weekend, so that's fantastic. Before we get any farther in the show, though, Mike, I want to go over real quick the rockfish regs, you know, so that everybody's a little bit more familiar with them for this weekend. Okay? July 1st through December 31st in waters out to 180 feet, rockfish is open. Lingcod is open. Out to 180 feet from July 1st through November 30th. So that's 1 month less of fishing. You're allowed to have 10 fish in your bag limit. And within those 10 fish, you're allowed to have one cabezon, and it has to be at least 15 inches long. You're allowed to have one greenling, and it has to be at least 12 inches long. You're allowed to have one boccaccio. And it says there's no size limit, but you can't possess one under 10 inches, so we'll call that a 10-inch fish. You're not allowed to have any cowcod, any yellow-eye rockfish, or any canary rockfish, none at all.
Okay, and Ken Stagnaro was kind enough to hold during the break, and he reminded me, he said, Mike, remember to remind people out there, if you catch and keep a canary, it's not just that, yes, you're going to get a ticket, it's not an infraction, it's actually a misdemeanor charge, it's a criminal violation of the law, but also that that canary could possibly be times by about 1,000. What that means is if somebody brings a canary inshore, into land, and they have retained that fish, fish and game, to extrapolate the numbers of the taken canaries would basically times that fish by every boat that may have been out that day or more, up to 1,000. So simply put, a few people keeping a few canaries could shorten our season by a matter of weeks.
Right.
It's a dramatic thing. Not that you're just going to break the law, which is huge in itself, but do not retain any canaries. Each canary could possibly take a day or more off of the season, and a few or more of those hitting the dock could take weeks or a month off. So a very big deal. Know the difference of a canary and a vermilion. Let's check in with Steve Carson real quick. We've got a limited amount of time, but he's our source, Senior Tuna, and he and I have been chatting about Central Coast albacore. Can't help but get excited. How you doing tonight, Steve?
I'm doing great, Mike, and you're right about that extrapolation. There were 2 weeks chopped off permanently off the Sacramento River salmon season at the end because of 7 winter-run salmon that were caught. That was extrapolated out to 500 fish.
Mm-hmm.
It's happened before. So don't want to eat into the time allocation, but you are so right on.
And you don't want to break the law. I did get an email, probably like you did, in regards to some poachers that had retained illegal abalone, sold them to the restaurants. Boy, that's a bad one. Speaking of that, abalone season closes July 1st for the month of July. And I think we all have to just think about it. Are we sportsmen or are we poachers? There's a lot of resources out there that, yeah, we could probably catch and sell, but is that what being a sportsman's all about and protecting our resources? So I had to throw that out there. Anyway, Steve, what do you think? There's rumors of albacore. What do you know about albacore?
Well, looks like there's a couple guys out are running out of Avila Beach, you know, a little bit down below us here, that are running a jig boat, and they're catching some fish, and they went north. So clearly the fish are on their way, you know, actual fish from, you know, Monterey Bay, Bay Area boats. There seem to be a lot of radio fish and not that many actual confirmed catches. Doesn't matter if one was caught yesterday, today, or if they finally bite tomorrow. They are coming. But, you know, conditions are looking good. Certainly down south, the indications of a warm water year throughout the Eastern Pacific region are coming in all over the place. And for us, that manifests itself in what will hopefully be a good year for albacore and maybe even a few bluefin.
Yeah, I know the warm water is moving in fast. I heard of some exotics. I think you mentioned to me the Laos rocks and yellowfin tuna were coming in, which kind of helps Central Coast here. It sounds like a lot of warm water push down south. And I got a funny feeling it's going to be a Morro Bay year for albacore, and Santa Cruz or Monterey Bay is going to see their share also.
Well, that'd be nice. Well, yeah, yellowfin tuna are already being caught within one-day range out of San Diego. The last couple days haven't been great, but, you know, it's still fishing. Also, Dorado within one-day range in San Diego. The catch you mentioned at Alios Rocks, it's a long ways from here, but they caught 2 Cubera snapper. I've never heard of Cubera snapper at Alios. That's essentially a Puerto Vallarta Panama fish, you know, 1,000 miles north of their normal range. So, again, extrapolate that out. And it means good news for us.
It does. And I got to share with you, I think you know this, but, I mean, how many thousands of albacore has the princess put on her decks out of Morro Bay? Well, she's right here in Santa Cruz now, Steve, as you probably heard earlier during the show, running out of Stagnero fishing trips. And there's warm water. I printed. I couldn't help it. I looked at Terrafin right now, and there is a warm bubble of water. Basically, there's been a few albacore caught out of Moss Landing running down towards the Davidson Seamount. A commercial fisherman that Ken Stagnero talked to personally, I believe on Saturday, had up to 45 fish a day, and I think there was a couple days of catches like that for small commercial jig boats in the greater Davidson area. But right now there's a wonderful water break that points up towards the northeast, a beautiful fish trap, as I would call it, right there on the 36 line. It looks like about 3605 and 12230, and that's right outside the Sur Canyon. And boy, I've seen those albacore come up out of that blue water out of nowhere in that area, and boy, when they come to bite, they really bite good. So that's a spot that's about 57 miles south-southwest of Santa Cruz, about 40 miles south-southwest of Monterey Bay. So there'll probably be a couple guys, if the buoys look good, going down there, maybe even tomorrow or this week. And I know there's still a little bit of a southerly flow. Seas aren't too bad, but that offshore weather's been a little tough.
Yeah, I think, though, that traditionally, if you go back, you know, to our fathers and our grandfathers' day, the 4th of July is when albacore season starts.
Yeah.
Anything before that was kind of unusual.
Yep, I know the whole Moss Landing commercial fleet always left right after 4th of July. They were loaded up with food and ready to go. Now, we've got limited time, but I know you've got a trip coming up, Steve. Tell us about the Searcher trip and if there's any spots available on that.
Yeah, we've got a couple of spots. The boat's, you know, the boat's going to have a light load regardless, and we've actually still got a couple spots open. A four-day trip leaving on the 4th of July. I'm old school, so yeah, I planned that. Four-day on the Searcher out of Fisherman's Landing in San Diego. It's $975 for a four-dayer, and of course that includes your food. There is a little fuel surcharge. You know how that goes these days. And in addition to the tuna, the yellowtail fishing has just been off the hook, and there were a couple of boats down at Cedros Island a few days ago that had, there were at least three yellowtail caught on the saltwater fisherman's dry fly method, the surface iron. At least three over 50 pounds.
Oh, I don't think that's politically correct. Do not take that language to a fly fisherman elitist club. Are we going to miss you next week, Steve, or are we going to check in with you next week?
You are going to miss me. I think we're going to be out of even sat phone range, but I'll get you the next week after that.
Okay, have a great trip. We look forward to hearing your success.
Thanks, Mike.
All right, have a great weekend. And speaking of South Coast action, let's check in with Chad Woods himself from sportfishingreport.com. Chad, how you doing?
I'm doing awesome. How are you?
Doing real good. I never know what to expect from you. I know we'll get a little dabbling of trout there in the Sierra, Southern Sierra's June Loop area, as well as some South Coast summary. So you take it from the top.
Well, I tell you what, I'm just going to follow in where Steve was, and then I'll tell you about trout. But he didn't mention this, but Coronado Islands yesterday went off. There's awesome yellowtail fishing. Yesterday on the San Diego three-quarter day run, 5:30 to 5, 51 anglers, limits, Mexican limits of yellowtail. That's 255 yellows in the 8 to 30-pound class. And that's at the North Island. And today they followed it up with like 120 fish. So there's excellent fishing local. He did mention that we are catching some of the warm water exotics. Today the Islander got a yellowfin tuna. And yesterday, I believe it was the Ranger got Dorado. And I think maybe it was a grande, I'm not sure, but two of them brought in some Dorado yesterday. So the water's heating up, and the albacore, I think, are starting to move north.
Mm-hmm. Let me ask you, is that success from the Coronados coming on like three-quarter day trips?
Yes.
That's amazing. That's some of the best yellowtail fishing those islands have probably seen in decades.
Oh, yeah. They have good yellowtail fishing there, usually in the spring, and limits, that is rough to come by, there's no doubt about it. But it's not uncommon for them to get 50, 60 yellows out there on a three-quarter day trip. They have really good fish in there. A little further up the line, last week we saw the sand bass start to bite for the local fleet in Orange County and L.A. County. That has kind of dipped off. They're starting to focus a little more on the sculpin. The sea bass bite at the Northern Channel Islands has been pretty steady. The last 2 days been down. We have Brian going out on the CJ tomorrow, so he's pretty lucky, and our sportfishingreport.com charters have produced really good scores on those sea bass, so I have a feeling that's going to change, but I do understand the weather's a little up, so those guys are going to have it's going to be a little tough on them, but I'm sure they'll do well.
Okay.
One more thing about that albacore. We were talking about the Davidson Seamount, and I got reports of that. I did a little research, and when the bluefin are good, there's good albacore Central Coast. I have a feeling that's going to hold true, and just by the fish showing up there, we're going to see good fishing for the Central Coast. I'm predicting it, so
yeah,
hopefully I'll be right.
The numbers weren't there in San Diego, but I have a same funny feeling that Morro Bay is going to pick up where it left off years back, which is very good albacore fishing, and I think the greater Monterey Bay area is going to see some of it too, but we will see. Now, on that note, since we're limited here, take us inland if you don't mind, and let's talk trout.
I spent last weekend doing a little trolling at June and Gull Lake in the June Lake Loop. It was unbelievable fishing on Saturday. I spent a couple, probably 2 to 3 hours trolling around 4 to 5 colors. I was using a new product to me, a flasher from a company called Cone Zone, and you can check them out at conezone.com. And, oh, my God, these things work very well. We got nice quality fish. We caught 8 fish in 3 hours, which is pretty good clip. The next day, I went to Gull Lake. Two of us got a limit of fish in an hour. And we were trawling woolly buggers. So we were using flies with these flashers, and they produced excellent. And the funny thing was, I talked to the landing manager or the marina manager down there at Gull Lake. He said, nobody's been getting them on the troll. I threw that thing out there. I had my first bite in 5 minutes.
So how does that area look as far as snowmelt? It looks like it's prime time right now then.
Yes. I actually went up over Tioga into Yosemite Park on Friday, and some of the Lundy and, or not Lundy, Ellery and Tioga Lake are ice-free, and the fishing looks good there. Battlebag is not open. I do believe that the lower campgrounds there at Ellery and is open right now, and I think they're going to try to get Saddlebag open in the next couple weeks. There's just, up on the pass, there's probably still areas with 4 to 5 feet of snow.
All right. Well, give us the two internet sites for trout information as well at the saltwater spot.
All right. Updated every single day, sportfishingreport.com with daily species reports. And on the trout side, we have rainbowtrout.com.
All right, Chad Woods, have a great weekend. Thanks for the report.
All right, thank you.
All right, and a great weekend out there, so get ready for it. We're going to go to the break. When we get back, we'll have another minute or two to summarize what to expect for this weekend. Thanks for tuning in. We'll be right back.
Serious sport fishermen rely on Raymarine's high-definition digital fish finders to increase their chances of seeing and catching more fish. And so should you. Johnson Hicks offers the new Raymarine A-Series fish finders with patented award-winning HD technology. The digital fish finders deliver the sharpest underwater imagery available anywhere, not to mention true hands-off operation and no compromise performance. Choose from a 4, 5, or 6-inch display. The new C-Series also offers HD technology. Simply add Raymarine's black box sounder. Choose from a 4, 7, or 12-inch display. Find Raymarine online at www.raymarine.com or call Johnson Hicks at 831-475-3383 for more information. That's 831-475-3383.
Let me introduce Live Oak Cafe, a wonderful cafe that specializes in espresso drinks, coffee and tea, as well as their cold beverages and juices. Besides the delicious breakfast burritos and pastries, you have to try the lunch specials, like the lasagna or the enchilada casserole. People rave over it. At Live Oak Cafe, the cakes, cookies and pastries are scrumptious. The care that goes into the food at Live Oak Cafe is what keeps people coming back. In a traffic-free location on the ocean side of Highway 1, Live Oak Cafe is at the corner of Chanticleer and Soquel Avenue. Come by or call the Live Oak Cafe at 475-7757 for lunch orders, or take out or 475-7757. Stop by today and say hi to Kathleen and her friendly staff at the Live Oak Cafe.
The Stagnaro family has been serving the Santa Cruz area for over a century. There's something for everyone. Fishing trips, bay cruises, whale watching, and private parties for any occasion. Whichever your choice, today's fourth generation Stagnaros will surely make your trip fun and memorable. And be sure to dine at Gilda's Stagnaro Family Restaurant before or after your ocean adventure. The restaurant is located right across the street from our ticket office on the Santa Cruz Wharf. Call Stagnaros at 427-2334 for a trip on the bay. Interphase Technologies, a local company with a worldwide market supplying boaters with forward-looking technology. Color Twin Scopes and iScan 180s have phased array technology and give you the opportunity to see a fish or bottom structure around your boat. Horizontal and vertical scanning technology gives you the opportunity to target the fish you want to catch before you've already passed over them. Interphase also provides boaters the finest chart plotters made with bright screens, fast processors, and easy-to-use functions. Interphase's forward-looking technology can be found at Johnson Hicks or online at www.interphase-tech.com. Look forward. Find Interphase.
Yeah.
Want to go saltwater fishing but don't have a boat? No problem. Drop on down to Capitola Boat and Bait on the Capitola Wharf or Santa Cruz Boat Rentals at the Santa Cruz Municipal Wharf, where fishing is serious fun. You'll find great pier fishing with full-service tackle shops, sturdy ocean skiffs for rent, fresh and frozen baits, and up-to-the-minute fishing advice and inside tips. For more info, call Capitola Boat and Bait at 462-2208 or Santa Cruz Boat Rentals, 423-1739.
Boat and Motor Mart, serving boaters since 1955. For over 51 years, the customer has always come first at Boat and Motor Mart, California's exclusive dealer for Osprey boats. Hosting a full array of Yamaha outboards, quiet, smooth, fuel efficient, and powerful. That's Yamaha outboards. Boat and Motor Mart is home to a new line, that's Parker Boats. Parker Boats have brought value and customer satisfaction to new levels. Check out Boat and Motor Mart's new location in South San Francisco at Oyster Point Marina. By land or sea, it's easy to find. 671 Marina Boulevard or call 650-246-1460. That's Boat and Motor Mart, 650-246-1460. Or online at www.boatandmotormart.com.
That's right, the Let's Go Fishing Show. Alan, quick summary, Bodega Bay.
Bodega Bay, if you want a sure thing for salmon, just go to Bodega Bay. It's been limit-style fishing there for the last few weeks. Coming down the coast into San Francisco, Half Moon Bay, Mike?
Half Moon Bay from Farallon Islands, or even Deep Reef all the way up to the outside of the Farallons, or just south of the Farallons, is good. San Francisco fleet's heading up above right in the Point Reyes area and inside the bay.
Inside the bay, it's the live bait potluck trips. It's a little slower than it was last week and the week before, but they're still catching lots of stripers and the occasional halibut.
All right, thanks for tuning in. Chris Spencer, thanks for running the board. Have a great weekend.
Your source for news, sports, traffic, and weather, AM 1080, KSCO, Santa Cruz, San Jose, Salinas, and Monterey.
Terror suspects at Guantanamo Bay.
The Supreme Court found that the plan to try suspected terrorists with military commissions violates U.S. and international law, and some legal experts say there might not be a way to legislate around this ruling.
Fox's Brett Baer in Washington. Fires lighting up the night sky over Gaza City. Israeli warplanes conducting more than a dozen airstrikes. The Palestinian Interior Ministry building on fire.
The target was the office of the Hamas Interior Minister, Saeed Siam. There were no injuries from the